2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll pick up where we left off on Wednesday. We were here last Sunday morning and night. Sunday morning chapter 2 verses 1 through 3. Sunday night verse 4. And then on Wednesday back in the same area. What I plan to do this morning, as God would enable me and allow me, is to launch from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. We're going to stay with this theme of being entangled, and we're going to go over to the book of Hebrews and look at Moses. I am thrilled with this impromptu series. Totally unexpected to me. This was anybody who's traveled with me knows I don't like a real strict itinerary because there's good things that pop up along the way. Some of your best restaurants will be those you didn't know about before you got to that town. Okay. And just sights to see. But some of the best things in life are a little bit unexpected. Would you say amen? I'm thoroughly enjoying this, and I've got to say what I did Wednesday night. I'm like Brother Morgan. I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back. That's ridiculous. But the feedback from these verses in 2 Timothy 2 has really been amazing. You and I both know that's the Word. It's the Word. We're vessels. We're instruments. And we want Him to use us. But at the end of the day, Brother Morgan just said it, all the glory goes to Jesus. And I mean that with all my heart. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No man that warreth, we're in a battle, you know that. Can I say this, saved or lost, you know you're in a battle. You can act like you've got the world by the tail. You can act like you've got it going on way down deep in the bosom end of your soul. You know there's a restlessness there. You know there is a void there. You know there is something missing in your life. Chris cleaned our entire marriage until just the last couple of years. Just something that she did to be a blessing to our family. She got a very large project that I ended up helping her with during a specific, very needy time. The Lord opened this up for us on, if you're familiar with Greenville, the Roper Mountain area, a lake house there, which you'd have to live in that neighborhood to know there's even a lake there, much less lake houses. And it was an immaculate, beautiful place. And I was there with her one day, and the owner, the man of the house, was fairly arrogant and cocky and kind, but always with just a hint of condescension. You and I are on different levels. I'm not going to forget it, and you better not. You know anybody like that? And again, very polite, very kind, never unkind or rude to us. But we always knew that we were in two different income brackets, and just really wanted us to know how well off they were. And there were books around to indicate that there was some religion there in the house. And without going to any detail, about 6 to 9 months later, I can tell you that the fall of that house, as Matthew says in chapter, is it 27, the fall of that house was very great. And I don't glory in that. I don't glory in that. No, I'm not. My heart breaks. I don't ever want to see that. But I'm here to tell you, you can look good and you can drive good and you can park in all the high dollar parking garages if you want to. If there's nothing down deep in your soul, you're miserable. You're miserable. And Jesus fills those voids. My point is, a lost man knows that. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I want to ask you a question. It's not the heart of today's message, but I want to ask a question. Is there a burning, passionate desire in your heart to please him? Is that there? Do you wake up with that? Yes, you're teen. Yes, you're young adults. Yes, you're 30-somethings. Yes, you're middle-aged. Yes, you're on the senior edge and age bracket of life. But whatever your age bracket you're in, whatever stage of life you find yourself in, at an age-appropriate level, is there something in your life that longs and yearns to please him. You heard a precious testimony from a very young child. And I have no reason whatsoever, another one on this side, I have no reason whatsoever to believe that that wasn't right from the heart. God spoke to Samuel when he was newly weaned. Now they nursed their children longer than our culture does now. But my point is, when Samuel was a little child, he heard the voice of the Lord. Somebody had to teach him by rote, but mechanically, if you will. Here's what you say the next time you hear that voice. I don't know where Samuel's heart was, but it was pretty much in tune with God, because when Eli told him what to say, he said it. And the next morning, the Bible said he had enough sense to be afraid to tell Eli what the message was. Here's what I want. But Samuel chose, let's say 8 years old, 7 years old. Samuel chose kids, young people. He said, I'd rather please God than man. I just want to ask you, and you're going to see where I'm going. I want to ask you, does your heart yearn? I thought about the song that the Townsend sang. I just want to please the Lord. I want to hear Him say, well done. And yes, my position in Christ is secure. But on a very practical level, I have to get up in the morning and choose if I'm going to live for Him or live for self. Bearing that in mind, as we read this verse and then launch to other passages of Scripture, I want you to look inside your heart. Is there something in me that longs to please Him? Can I be so bold as to ask you, if there's not, do you know Him? Gloria says it's as good or better than any of us here. She said, I don't know how I walked all those years in darkness. I knew the truth, but I chose darkness over the light. But once she met Him, everything changed, and it happened in a moment. Has that happened to you? Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23. I'm going to read 4 or 5 verses, but I'm only going to preach from one, because we're going to stay here a service or two. There's so much in here. I hope God will use you. It's speaking to me, and I pray that it will you. Look with me, please, in verse number 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I want all of you to listen to me. We grow up in the South, maybe other parts of the country, and we get this in our head. If I do that, I'll go to hell. If I do that, lightning is going to strike. Please quit saying that to your children. When was the last time you saw lightning strike somebody? And so they tell a lie, they take something that's not theirs, and no lightning strikes. And here's what happens in that wicked heart. Everybody's kid in here, except for my newest grandbaby, has a wicked heart. Okay, come on now. Their wicked heart goes, lightning didn't strike. It must not be true. I wonder what else the preacher's saying that's not true. So be careful about doing what Eve did in the garden and adding to the message. Just let God be true and every man a liar. And so here he chose, because there was pleasure in sin for a season. But some way, somehow, God had shown Moses that is a season and it won't last forever. So all of you young people, listen to me. All of you men and women getting ready to have a midlife crisis and go on a fling. It's about the dumbest thing you'll ever do. You'll live with the rest of your life with regret. There is pleasure in sin for a season. Your flesh will like it, but it'll haunt you. It'll drag on you the rest of your days. And is there forgiveness? Yes. Is there grace? Yes. Is there restoration? But we have heard in our precious church family, those who have stood and said, God has forgiven me, but my heart aches. My memories are haunted. Don't go down that road, I beg of you. There is, young people, I had never figured out getting drunk. Hadn't figured that one out. Hangovers don't sound attractive to me. Puking my guts out does not sound attractive to me. I don't hug porcelain. I hug Chris. Porcelain's a little cold and stiff. Come on now, y'all, that's what half of this county did last night. And they think we're crazy. I'm enjoying myself. I've been enjoying myself since we walked in here. I've enjoyed myself in the parking lot fellowshipping. Now I'm going to go home, take my Sunday afternoon nap, say amen right there, come back and do it all again tonight. And I won't be hungover in the morning. But there's pleasure in sin for a season. Yeah, you'll laugh. Yes, you'll giggle. Yes, you'll feel silly. You'll probably do something you'll regret. But there is pleasure in sin for a season. And Moses said, I'm not interested. Look at verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. What a phrase. What did Moses know and understand about Christ and His reproaches? Have you ever thought about that? That's deep, friend. That's deep. Don't you tell me, I know what it means. No, you don't know everything. Quit it. Nobody knows everything. Nobody knows everything. I know some independent Baptists think they do. Nobody knows everything. And yeah, I'm going to study it. I think I have some ideas. What Moses, the reproaches of Christ, that's amazing. Greater riches than what was in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. My text today is verse 23. You look there, please. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Why? They saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. I want you to listen to me, and I won't keep you long. I'm looking at the raising of Moses. I don't know if you heard all the testimonies. I pray that you did. If I had an inkling that you might not be hearing it, I tried to give you a couple bullet points after each one because I want us worshiping together as a church family. But here's what was said more than once this morning, with nobody having any clue where the Holy Spirit had directed me. Here's what they said, and Alex said it the most detailed, but others brought points out and said this, I am glad for this family, this church family. He went so far as to say, I am glad for the extra grandparents I get around here. I am glad for the extra aunts and uncles I get around here. Others talked about the family atmosphere of a Bible-believing church. Listen to me very, very carefully. When I say the raising of Moses, that does not mean the only people I'm preaching to this morning are those with young children in the home. I'm talking to every member, Brother Morgan, of Progress Baptist Church. Young children. Brother Morgan, if the Lord tarries this coming and I'm with you, it don't look like He's going to tarry very long. I can't see that happening. If the Lord tarries His coming, there are young children who, when they are old, will remember the day you stood up and one more time bragged on the mercy and grace of God. You say, Brother Raines, nobody ran around the building. Nobody shouted. I understand that. That doesn't mean God wasn't working and moving. We are all interwoven into each other's lives. We are all bearing one another's burdens. We are all investing in each other. We had a VBS meeting Wednesday night after church. Here's what one of our ladies said. She said, I need everybody to pray. I've got a work schedule conflict and I'm supposed to be here. I need to be here. I want to be here. Let me tell you something. We are investing in each other's lives. And I'm like Starla. My mind has been on memory lane for some time. Just all the people, all the services, all the preachers. I guess with Brother Ballou's passing, my mind is just racing at all of the people who have poured their life into me. And I don't feel like I'm that caliber. But let me tell you what, one thing I'm doing, I'm pouring my life into somebody. I'm not saying I'm a stint at Blue, not by a long shot. I'm just telling you what you've learned from faithful men, passed on to others so they can pass it on to somebody else. That verse has four generations. Let's look at Moses. Would you please look at the second phrase, hid 3 months. You ready? It was private. He said, Brother Raines, what on earth are you talking about? This is exactly what I'm talking about. I am sick up to here with independent Baptists doing what they're doing for the praise of men. What I believe real good. I'm holding on to it, Brother Michael. It's settled in my soul. We've all had a sin nature. We've all had the tendency to want to do something for the praise of men. That happened in the Bible. Social media has put all that on steroids. We can't witness. We can't have a good service. We can't play catch with our youngin' for 30 minutes in the front yard without taking a picture about it and bragging on ourselves. I'm not on a rant. I'm in my Bible and I'm telling you it's killing us. And if I end up on an Amish farm somewhere, just say, we saw it coming. I'm serious. Quit trying to get over yourself. Get over ourselves. You can't spend time with you can't do anything with anybody without posting a picture and wanting everybody impressed with how good of a soul winner, how good of a pastor, how good of a singer, how good of a whatever you are. And everybody's going, we just enjoyed a picnic and I thought I wanted to share it with my friends. That's wonderful. I enjoyed your picnic scenes. Y'all know when somebody's bragging, when they do hashtag humble handmaiden of the Lord. Hashtag unworthy servant. Yeah, you just put a red flag on it telling us that you think you're something. I need some help right now. If y'all don't help me, I'm just going to stay private. You know what your God is? He's a good bookkeeper. Oh, he's got a journal up there like nobody's business. That family there on the second pew. In 8 years, how many times have you heard them brag on their offspring? A handful of times. They could barely get the words out for crying and sucking air. Thanking God for what He's done in their children and grandchildren's lives. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
You don't have to tell anybody you're the best thing in fundamentalism since John R. Rice. Just get up tomorrow, read your Bible, pray, and live for Jesus. Ask Him to bring somebody across your path. Thank you for showing us the way. If you ask Him, He will. When He does, tell Him about Jesus and get back to your job. And come here Wednesday, pray with your brothers, bear one another's burdens. It was private. He was hidden 3 months. There's another lesson there for us, and I'm moving on. There's another lesson there. Some people that are living for Jesus and it's not popular with the culture, they think God wants them throwing it up in a lost world's face. You know why the lost people are living the way they are? That's what lost people do. That's what lost people do. Are they evil? Yes. Are they lost? Yes. Are they on their way to hell? Yes. Guess what? So were you and I before He saved us. Did somebody getting in your face and spitting on you and yelling at you and telling you how sorry and low down you were? I'm not talking about preaching. I'm talking about did somebody just being rude and belligerent to you? Is that what wooed you to Jesus? No. So they did what a believer in that time needed to do, and that was hide that baby. It was private. Church, look at the next line. Who hid him? Listen to me, church. I need you right here. Parents, what's the most important word in that? What's the most important letter in that word, Seth? The S. Mom and Dad, get on the same page. Help me now. Preacher, that's too sensitive for Sunday morning. It's God's Word and I got to preach it. Church, if Mom and Dad aren't on the same page, it's up to me and you to fill in some gaps. Come on. He's thanking God for it. How many of you knew He counted you as extra grandparents, aunts, and uncles? I didn't. That's what those kids look at you as. His parents. both are on board. If by your natural disposition, one of you is just a little more lackadaisical, just in a, it'll all work out. Yeah, God will get a hold of him. God got a hold of me. He'll get a hold of me. And the other one's, we're going to pray. And you snatch them up by the collar. You need to find a happy medium. You need to find a happy medium. I need some help. They're dying on me. You need a happy medium. And let me tell you something. You need to defer to the stronger one. And that weaker one, you don't need to be going around behind the other one's back. And you say, Brother Ernest, that's the mama. No. I know some mama bears. And daddies who think their job is to undo everything that mama's doing. One of you is just naturally going to have a stronger bent. That's an old term. One of you is going to have a stronger bent. The one that is, the other one needs to back him and support him. Now, if she came out like a mama bear and you're worried for the kid's life, or vice versa, then y'all need to go somewhere and have a private. We're back to private. Everybody say private. Y'all need to go back and have a private talk. Those youngins need to know my mom and daddy's on the same page. Vitally important. Vitally important. Oh, this is the best part of the message. Somebody say you like it, even if you don't. How long was he hidden? Now, here's what we all think they were doing. They was cruising on the Nile. No! What happened at the end of... This is so good, Tiffany, help me. At the end of 3 months, what did they do with Moses? Put him in an ark. Did they order it from Amazon with 2-day delivery? Brother Morgan, this is good. Do you know what he did for 3 months? They worked on an ark. Glory. What did Noah do for 120 years? What did they do? He said, hey, if you just have to build one for a baby, you got 3 months, not 120 years. That'll make you shout. 3 months, you know what she's doing? She's getting ready for the next phase. I love you. I love you. Y'all know I love you. Some of you is enjoying phase one and you're not making any preparation for phase two. They're going to need an ark. They're going to need an ark. You know when you need it? You prepare it before you need it. Then when it comes, when it's time, the ark's ready. Y'all know what they had to do? It was made of bulrushes. We learned that in Sunday school. They cut them and then they dried them and then they wove them. And then they pitched it, and you let it dry. It's like sheetrock. They let it dry. They pitched it again. And that thing was waterproof when it needed to get in the Nile. Some of you's just floating through life, no pun intended, and you're not getting an ark ready for the next stage of your youngin's life. Y'all better be looking at him going, ooh, what's he getting ready to face? We need to be making some preparation. We need to be making some preparation. I didn't let them wear revealing stuff at 3. And they certainly didn't let them wear it and then take pictures of it and post it all over social media. Here's what Lauren Talley said. I don't know Lauren Talley's personal convictions. Here's what Lauren Talley put online this week. She said, y'all have the dress standards you want to have. She said, that's none of my business. She said, but as a lady, can I say this? Quit putting pictures of bikinis up there unless you're going to put pictures of you in your underwear. Now, a woman said that. That's the day we live in. Look at me in my underclothes. Come on now, that's Bible. And I didn't do it with them at 3 because I knew at 13 after puberty had hit like a cyclone, okay, that at 13 I wasn't going to get her out of it. Oh, now it's time to be modest. No, just start off modest. Just start off modest. Not revealing, not drawing attention, not revealing the flesh or the form. Is the best definition you'll ever hear of that. So I'm prepared. I was always. And you say, Brother Ernest, I know this about yours. You don't know the half of it. Ms. Penny said, which door did you go kneel by and pray? All of them. Which ones wake me up during the night? Right now. And I go pray for them. All of them. Guess what? Plus three children-in-law. Plus I claimed Brighton plus four grand youngins. Dad said, I thought when y'all left, I could relax a little. He said, all y'all did was add to my prayer list. Who's going to pray for him, Brother Mike, Miss Tammy? Who's going to pray for him? It's us. Can I let you in on a secret? 98%, 99% of this community doesn't care 2 cents about you or me. I know you got friends. I got friends. This is where it's at. This is the body of Christ, Brother Youngblood. Loving each other. Kill over. Send out a text blast. See who shows up. You say, preacher, you didn't show up to me. I didn't know it if I didn't. It's killed me these last 2 months, all this back and forth stuff. I'm going, I owe him a visit. I owe him a visit. It's killed. I am bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. Look at the middle of the verse. They saw he was a proper child. They saw he was a proper child. That's a deeper word than most of us are ready for. Here's one of the definitions. A child like no other, rare in his beauty. Now, I've seen some newborns in my day. And I'm just wondering what it was that stood out about that wrinkly, pruned up mess. Y'all with me? Babies ain't pretty. I need a witness. You say, mine was? No, it wasn't. Well, preacher, you said it was. I was telling a story. Because you was all proud of him and said, look! And I went, oh, what a face. Look like aliens. I'm in the book. They saw he was. They said, there's something special about that youngin. What's the whole story of Hebrews 11? Faith. They said, I don't know what God can do with that youngin. Y'all with me? But I believe it's amazing. And you know what the family next door said? If they can protect their child, you say, he was the only one saved during that whole period of time. That's not true. It's the only one we got told about. Their faith encouraged each other. When you try to raise yours for the Lord and keep them out of this world, somebody in the church is going to go, by George, I think I can do it too. When everybody around you is letting down, letting down, letting down, letting down, letting down, you're like, man, are we the only one? You with me? And they on and on, the adjectives that go with that phrase. And here's what the Lord gave me. He said, son, I put that in their heart so they'd give him some extra protection because I had a job for him. That's what they saw by faith. But the truth of the matter was, if you'd have laid, and I'm not correcting the scripture, God showed that mom and daddy, this is a special child. I've got a special job for them. And they treated him as such. They raised him as such. But if the youngin born next door looked just as squirmy as Moses did. But in their eyes, I want to throw this in on this family idea of a church. Say, Brother Raines, I believe all five of mine. I believe all four of mine. I believe all two of mine. I believe all eight of mine are that special. Amen. Praise God. Just look across the pew and realize that that family is as devoted to theirs as you are to yours. Y'all know that one potential conflict in a church is trying to raise each other's youngins. And trying to straighten out each other's youngins. If we'll just go, John and Penny are as devoted to those two little yahoos as Aaron and Amber are their three. And as the Mumpers are to their four. If we'll cut each other a little slack, and if we'll pray for each other the way we'd want somebody praying for us, raising a young is the hardest thing you'll ever do. If we'll pray for each other. And so we see he was proper. And then lastly, look at the last line of the verse. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Why? They had a purpose for that child. Why did God give you those children? Real quick. All the children that will y'all come up here real quick? Real quick. Progress Baptist. Why'd God give us them? Look at them, church. I'm glad they were born in your home. Look here, church. Why'd God give them to us? Do you know how many churches in Henderson County, North Carolina, don't have a third of that? Do you know how many churches? Y'all know I love old people. I heard a commercial this morning on the way to church. It said, here's the age you need to sign up for Medicaid. And I was way closer to that birthday than I ever wanted to be. How many churches in Henderson County look like universal health care? Church, that's a treasure. That's a gold mine. Everybody in here 40 and above knows how fast life is. And if we don't reach that generation, what are we going to have? But y'all, if you weren't here in the 10 o'clock hour, Brother Youngblood, Alex's devotion was so amazing. And I don't want pride to get in his heart. His mom and daddy will pray with him and help him. Miss Penny stood up just squalling. She said, all I've been able to think of this week with Brother Ballou's passing is who's going to carry the torch. Who's going to carry the torch? She said, I believe God's got some that are going to carry the torch. But you know what? It's up to me and you. You young men, y'all, can they look to y'all? Y'all are between them and me. I'm old. They think I'm old. They're not sure if I'll make it back tonight. I'm serious. You know what 50-year-olds look like when you was a kid? Remember that teacher at school? You're like, man, she was old when I had her. She's still there? Y'all know that? Everyone of you's done that. Man, that old bat, she was there when she taught me English. Right? And then your grandchild goes to school and you go, who you got for English? Miss Turner? Oh, good grief. They're worried about my health. But y'all are in between me and them. And when y'all stand up and live for Jesus, when y'all stand up and open the Word, when y'all stand up and you can't testify because your lips quivering and you're saying, God sure has been good to me and I just want to thank Him. All these young people are going, that's where it's at. I'm saved today because one teenage boy in my church had enough grace and grit and gumption to live for Jesus. And I saw those teenage boys on our Briarwood Avenue, Tampa, Florida, living like hell and the devil. And I said, I want what he's got, not what they've got. And you say, I don't know if God saved somebody that way. You're just going to have to talk to God about that. He's been working in my life for 51 years. I brag on him. Well, what are we going to do with him, church? We're going to give him a purpose. Look at him holding hands. We're going to give him a purpose. Let's get a renewed vision of the purpose God has given us with these youngins. They need Jesus. They need the truth. They need a church that's so full of the love of Christ, they bump into it when they walk in the door. You grandparents, what are you passing on? You moms and dads, are you one thing at church and something else at the house? I've heard it all my life, Brother PJ. Those kids at the school would break my heart. Brother Angel, I know what y'all see. That's not what I see. We used to sit on the pew with a woman. Y'all, I love shouting. We don't have enough of it around here. Y'all know I love it. We sat on a pew with a woman. She shouted. Miss Pam, she'd shout, and her kids would look at each other and go, when Chris gets in the glory, ours would start wiping their eyes. They knew Mama was real. They'd heard her in that prayer closet. I love you. Did y'all know that? Church, let's build an ark. We don't have to do Noah's. Let's just build one out of bulrushes to protect them in the night. Egypt's always the top of the world. Always a picture of the world. Amen.